Today I'm going to talk about, it's almost sort of the crossover between psychology and religion, because what I'm going to talk about is evil, and one psychologist's perspective on what evil is. In the video, I'm going to be playing some sections of the audiobook from M. Scott Peck called The People of the Lie. If you haven't listened to this audiobook, or if you don't have the book, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Recently, I've been going over material that I was familiar with in the past, and this is one of the things, because I remember really being moved by M. Scott Peck's sort of scientific analysis of the nature of evil. That's what this book is. He's a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and he was trying at the time when he wrote this book to get evil classified as a form of mental illness. Obviously, he did not succeed in doing so. And in my personal opinion, I believe that he was unsuccessful for two reasons. One is, if you mention the word evil to secular people, they reject it because it's too religious, it's too woo-woo for them, it's too old-fashioned. You know, it's anti-progressive, it's anti-technical. If you mention evil, it conjures God and faith and virtue, and they hate that. The second reason I think Scott Peck was unsuccessful in his bid to have evil classified as a mental illness is that, I know this is a little controversial, but I think that the current paradigm that we're living in today was brought about by people who themselves are either sociopathic, psychopathic, or evil, and they didn't want even define this sort of mental illness. They don't want science to have any part of that, because if you've noticed, the scientific community in the last however many decades has striven to strip religion from the world. Like, you can't be a faithful person and also a scientist. They've tried to drive this wedge as if the two things cannot exist in the same world. I fundamentally disagree with that. I think science is glorious, and I do not think that any part of it contradicts faith in God. Myself, I don't see any clash, but they do. And so we're playing in their playing field right now. And that's why I have to frame this in terms of psychology and psychiatry, because that's acceptable to the scientific, secular, rationalist, materialist, reductionist worldview. And the scientific, rationalist, reductionist, materialist worldview people are who I am trying to reach. Because the controversial thing that's happening right now, in my opinion, is that people who think they are doing good are actually doing evil. They are doing this thing, this virtue signaling thing, where it's a performative act to be good rather than actually being good. And in my personal opinion, science is responsible. Technocracy is responsible for this. They have subdivided, categorized, compartmentalized people's minds to the point where they are able to do evil, pardon me, in the name of good. M. Scott Peck's book, The People of the Lie, was profound for me when I first heard it, as I listened to the audiobook 6 years ago. It's profound. And it gets better as it goes along. You have to stick with it. We are far beyond being able to use facts and figures to convince people that what they're doing is wrong. They are ideologically possessed, and they are mentally ill. And that mental illness that they suffer from, at least according to M. Scott Peck, is evil. They're evil. And before we listen to this section of what he has to say, his book, I think it's important for me to mention to you that he does not believe that evil people are psychopaths. I don't think he even believes they're sociopaths, because from what I understand from his work, he thinks that psychopaths and sociopaths are people who are devoid of conscience. So they operate in this world completely differently than the rest of us humans, who are burdened by guilt and by our conscience. So he separates evil people from psychopaths, okay? And this is a very important distinction because, as I've said myself many, many times, if we as a good species, as human beings, 95 or more percent of us are good. We are good. We do have a conscience. We are not evil. If we only had to deal with psychopaths and sociopaths and people without conscience, I believe we would be better off than we are today. Because we would be able to recognize them and deal with them. They would be such a minority, they would be so aberrant, that we would just step in there and rid them from our midst. Now, I'm not saying that psychopaths aren't a problem. They are. They're generally the leaders of all the evil people. Like, take, for instance, Bill Gates, who I think is a psychopath. Like, obviously, I don't even know the man, and I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but from what I know, I would say that Bill Gates is a psychopath, like an apex predator psychopath. And all the people who work at his organization, who have ever sent him money, who have ever sat down in a room with him, who have had the power, but who have never stopped him, who have never blown the whistle on him, etc. All of his enablers, they are the problem. And they are evil. Because, unlike Bill Gates himself, the apex predator psychopath, who is operating as a broken, incomplete specimen of a human being, in my opinion, missing a conscience, constantly seeking to win a game, no matter what the price to other humans. Unlike him, the people who support him and surround him and don't stop him and work for him and kind of suspect something's wrong but don't do anything about it and keep drawing a paycheck from him and taking his money, these people are evil because they know better. And the reason they don't stop him and the reason they keep quiet is because they're ashamed. It's not because they don't see what they're doing is wrong. It's because they do see what they're doing is wrong, or they sense it on some level. But they have no courage to stand up. They would rather advance and protect the lie than stop it. But they're so terrified of being associated with something bad because of their shallow self-esteem that they would rather continue hurting people so that they're never faced with their own complicity. Do you know what I'm saying? And that is evil, because they've made a conscious decision to continue supporting a psychopath, in spite of the harm that it's causing. Now, Scott Peck says that the central defect of evil is the refusal of these people to acknowledge their sin. He uses the word sin. I know that probably triggers some people right there, because you're thinking, oh, that's religious, and I don't believe in sin, and sin is a lie. Sin just keeps us from doing the things that we want. It makes us feel guilty for no reason. But that's not true. We have conscience and guilt for a reason. Whether or not there's religion, there's conscience. So Scott Peck just uses the word sin as an easy way to describe the transgressions these people have done. All right, I've already talked for 10 minutes and I haven't yet played any part of this audiobook, so I will do so now.
If evil people cannot be defined by the illegality of their deed or the magnitude of their sins, then how are we to define them? The answer is by the consistency of their sins. While usually subtle, their destructiveness is remarkably consistent. This is because those who have crossed over the line are characterized by the absolute refusal to tolerate the sense of their own sinfulness. More than anything else, it is the sense of our own sinfulness that prevents any of us from undergoing a similar deterioration. A predominant characteristic of the behavior of those I call evil is scapegoating. Because in their hearts they consider themselves above reproach, they must lash out at anyone who does reproach them. They sacrifice others to preserve their self-image of perfection.
You note at the beginning of that clip that he said that it's not the criminality of the act that makes someone evil. It's the consistency of it. And it's the absolute refusal of these people to face the fact that they did something wrong. Speaking from personal experience, this seems very, very true to me. The destructiveness of these people is that they create around them, like if you picture them as the solar system, they're the sun. And there's all these planets, right? Every planet is another secret or lie or secret shame that they have. And if you try to get close to any of those things, they just go supernova. They blow the whole thing up.
Evil, then, is most often committed in order to scapegoat. And the people I label as evil are chronic scapegoaters. They attack others instead of facing their own failures. As life often threatens their self-image of perfection, evil people are often busily engaged in hating and destroying that life, usually in the name of righteousness. The fault, however, may not be so much that they hate life as that they do not hate the sinful part of themselves.
Doesn't matter that their filthy, dirty fingernails could make you actually sick. You're the bad one because you noticed. And that's just a tiny example of scapegoating. I mean, clearly scapegoating is the impetus behind all of the genocides that have ever happened. All of our troubles are caused by whatever group, X group. Doesn't even matter at all what the group is. If you get to a point where you say all of our troubles are caused by X group, then you are scapegoating. And now here is a difficult thing. Because here I am saying all of our troubles are caused by evil people. So am I scapegoating them? I know that they would love to frame that, and they would. That's exactly how they would come back at me. How can you say that? You're doing exactly what you're accusing us of doing, they would say. I don't know. I'll leave that one to everyone else to figure out. But scapegoating is a very, very deep phenomenon that, to me, this is one of the lessons, the main points of Christianity, is we ended sacrifice. We ended scapegoating. Jesus did. I didn't. I wasn't there. But we're supposed to honor that tradition. We do not take an innocent being, whether it's an animal or a human. We do not take an innocent being and then put our sins onto it symbolically and kill it so that we can be absolved of the things we did. Similarly, we don't heap our sins onto an innocent being and then shun those beings and send them off into the wilderness. Sacrifice is tied hand in hand with scapegoating, because what it always comes down to is that the guilty party transfers their guilt onto another so that the other can be symbolically punished for the sins of the person who actually did the sin, committed the sin, told the lie, kept the secret, killed, cheated, stole, whatever it was they did. And Christianity is the only religion that I know of that offers a hand and says, if you confess your sins, your transgression, you don't need to sacrifice anyone or anything. The secret is you admit you did it wrong. You transgressed, you sinned, you cheated, you lied, you stole, you killed, you maimed, you hated, you dishonored, you desecrated. You admit it, you repent, and you can be free. It's the beauty of Christianity, the end of scapegoating, the end of sacrifice, that sort of sacrifice. Not personal sacrifice, that's a different thing. But the evil people, as Scott Peck says, that is the death knell to them. They will do anything to avoid that. Their number one priority is hiding what they've done that is wrong. They absolutely can't tolerate even thinking about it. And this is why we have the gaslighting, and this is why we have the narrative building and the storytelling. All of it is meant to cover up for the mistakes and the sins of the system they participated in, or their individual sins and transgressions, both. And it just gets worse as time goes on. We always hear in criminology that the cover-up is worse than the crime. Well, that goes 1,000 times for our psychology or our spirit. 1,000 times. The longer you continue on hiding the small crime you may have committed years ago, the bigger that crime becomes because you've lied so many times to cover it up. All right, let's hear the next section of Scott Peck's book.
What is the cause of this failure of self-hatred? This failure to be displeasing to oneself, which seems to be the central sin at the root of the scapegoating behavior of those I call evil. The cause is not, I believe, an absent conscience. There are people, both in and out of jail, who seem utterly lacking in conscience or superego. Psychiatrists call them psychopaths or sociopaths. Guiltless, they not only commit crimes, but may often do so with a kind of reckless abandon that is not particularly characterized by scapegoating. This is hardly the case with those I call evil. Utterly dedicated to preserving their self-image of perfection, they are unceasingly engaged in the effort to maintain the appearance of moral purity. They worry about this a great deal. They are acutely sensitive to social norms and what others might think of them. Like Bobby's parents, they dress well, go to work on time, pay their taxes, and outwardly seem to live lives that are above reproach. The words image and appearance and outwardly are crucial to the understanding of the morality of the evil. While they seem to lack any motivation to be good, they intensely desire to appear good. Their goodness is all on a level of pretense. It is, in effect, a lie. This is why they are called the people of the lie.
Remind you of anyone or anything? The concept of virtue signaling? The keeping up appearances nature of all of the folks around us who we'll take the vaccine, we'll wear the masks, we'll do the social distancing, we'll gather together in mobs to shame those of us who won't. They are literally dedicated to the lie. All they care about is appearing just. And as many other psychologists and psychiatrists have pointed out over the years, they feel security by going towards a group mentality. Wherever the bigger group is, they'll hide in the middle of them, like a zebra in a pack. You feel more secure on the inside than on the outside. Who are the backwards people? Is it people with religion who believe in individual virtue and the individual mandate to live up to the laws of God? Or is it the people who think like pack animals and just want to hide in the middle of a group so they don't get eaten by an imaginary lion? Who's the real backwards thinker? I ask you. I hope you enjoyed what Scott Peck had to say there. And I could go on and on for hours and hours talking about these concepts. It's my favorite thing to talk about. But I know I have a smart audience. I know you guys are sharp, and my main purpose here was, I wanted to introduce you to this book if you haven't heard of it before, and again, I highly, highly recommend going and listening to it. I personally did not love the beginning story of George, and that's what he opens the book with, so if you're finding you don't enjoy the book, skip George's story, maybe. No offense, M. Scott Peck. But it just is so much better later on. and think about what you're seeing out there and what's happening right now. It is evil. It is evil to scapegoat. It is evil to pretend virtue. You know, like Scott Peck said, keeping up appearances. All they care about is what the pack thinks of them. They don't care at all about actually doing good. In fact, they're too lazy to even think about what good is. And unfortunately, we now live in a society, I believe, where the experts that they trot out on the news and the media, which repeats messaging and brainwashes people, they are on the side of the evil and the psychopaths. So what chance do these pack animals have? It is up to us, the virtuous, and the people who understand right and wrong, and we have set our sights way higher than the opinion of the mob. We are trying to please a much, much higher power. Whether you believe in God or not, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about. It's up to us to maintain, to build community, to stay connected to one another. And you know what else? To put material out there that reminds everybody what it is to be virtuous. I think that's so much more important than continually digging up factoids about whatever. It doesn't matter. What we've got to do is reel the evil people back in, if we can. Those teetering on the brink of just giving over and being virtue signaling, conscienceless posers. I hope you've enjoyed this video. I thank you guys for being here. And I will talk to you again soon. Until next time, peace out.